Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
What is up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? That's right. We're back. We are. And the podcast will rock. Welcome back to the show, you guys. And I say we're back because if you've been keeping up with what's been going on, we haven't done a regular show the way you're used to in quite some time. So this is this feels good. We're getting back into the swing or the spin of things, should I say. And that'll make sense to you, the listeners that know what we do here. But if you're new to the show, you just stumbled across from us. We are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. And we do it one track at a time, slowly counting them down. I am your co-host, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, what's good in your neighborhood?
Literally nothing. Because we are currently in the midst of our first snowstorm. What is it, October 25th? We didn't even make it to motherfucking Halloween. And we've got an inch of snow on the ground. It's so icy out. I have a telethon I got to set up tomorrow that runs live for 15 hours on Friday. I have no idea if we can get the production truck down here. So I am stressing. So I got my Cavatier. I got my whiskey. And I'm ready. I'm ready to take my fucking whiskey to bed with me because I just want to get drunk and listen to Van Halen. That's all I want to do.
Well, you came to the right place, and look, they don't call it the Great White North for nothing. So apologies to Corey this time instead of our usual apologies, because yikes, that sucks. That's a shame. Meanwhile, down here, it's unusually warm today, and that sounds like a brag, but it's not. I'm kind of sick of it. I'd like a little bit of a little October chill to grace the American South. Okay, maybe it's a slight brag, is like, because if it snows down here, then in October we've got problems. We've got huge problems. But I'll tell you, Corey, you know what's not a problem? It's not a problem listening to Van Halen. It doesn't matter which Van Halen. It's not a problem. It's a good time, and it's even better when we can do it as a group. We can do it not just as a show hosts, but as just friends and fans getting together, talking about a band that we love. And we love doing that with other like-minded individuals and fans, such as our guests. Welcome back to the show. A couple of our exclusive patrons and honorary members of the show. Let's say that. Matt Lacoste, Michael Griffiths. What's up, boys? Welcome back. Good to see you again. It's been a while.
Hey, good
what's
to
up,
be
boys?
Here.
Yeah.
Can't think of a better group to spin the wheel with, but it's funny you mentioned friends, because I want to address a friend right off the hop. And I don't want to single him out by name. Let's just say his name rhymes with Taz. And he currently hosts a show that sounds like you need to bathe in hydrocortisone cream after listening to it. But he just went off on a rant on his show about yours truly and about something I allegedly said on one of my many other different podcasts, which I cannot be held accountable for because I do so many. I forget what I say half the time.
It's true.
And he is accusing me of Alex Van Halen slander on an episode of the Ultimate Catalog Clash. And first of all, he provided no proof. There's no timestamps. He can't tell me exactly where this happened. I'm not listening to the show because that's the last thing I want to fucking do is listen to one of my shows. So I'm not even quite sure this happened, but he says that I claimed on the show Alex Van Halen contributed nothing to the songwriting of Van Halen, which on this show, I'll remind folks, I said actually quite the opposite, that, you know, because Eddie had talked about Alex being the go-between between him and David and bringing those songs together, which more than justifies him getting publishing rights, in my opinion. But apparently, and if something on the Ultimate Catalog Clash contradicts that, I can only attribute that to Kevin Brown witchcraft. Kevin Brown is 4'2". He's a leprechaun, and he has all sorts of mystical, magical powers. And if something like that happened, it was just Kevin Brown witchcraft. Look, he's already sticking up for Chaz somehow. I don't know. Oh, he's telling Chaz to quit picking on me.
No, he's he's sticking up for you after you just insulted him twice on the Irish side and the high side.
I did not. Uh-oh.
You called him a leprechaun.
Oh, shit. I did not throw you under the bus.
You see? That's what
Kevin happens. Kevin, I did not throw you under the bus. First of all, you're too tiny. If I threw you under the bus, you'd just fit between the wheels. You'd be fine. Jesus, so it's all good. Christ.
Just burying your own grave inside, you know, underneath an inch of snow, fresh snow at that. So
I should say Kevin Brown is fantastic, and I'm sure he can back me up. I don't recall ever slandering Alex Van Halen on the Genesis show, because that wouldn't make a ton of sense. But if I did, and I won't blame it on Kevin. Let's blame it on Randy Woods. Fuck that guy. He's the co-host of Seaside Pod Review. And he does listen to podcasts.
You've gone out of your way to be the Alex proponent of the show many times.
Absolutely.
Like, I've heard it and I love it every time because it's like he doesn't get his due. And
we have your back on
you're
that
doing one. It over there. So
yeah,
whatever.
That's what I was going to say. It's like we've done enough episodes. I can't remember the details of every single one, but I can confirm on multiple occasions you have absolutely given Alex way, you know, his just due. At no point, at least on this show, and I'm very nearly certain, in fact, I am certain, not on any other show would you have made that claim, like, oh, he contributed nothing. Like, what? No, none of that.
Well, and
so,
the point that Chaz and his co-host on Rush Rash brought up was that he also wrote his own drum fills and his own drum parts, which I agree. Writing drum patterns contributes to the songwriting. And the reason why Mikey got cut out is because he didn't write those bass parts, right? Eddie says he wrote them all and taught Mikey how to play them. Right. So there's just another example of Alex deserving his share of publishing rights from Van Halen, which I 100% agree with. And Scott Monroe, CMPU versus CCFU, you're goddamn right, my friend. And I'm going to be on that damn show next week. And I'm going to get double teamed. I'm going to need some help. I don't think Kevin's going to have my back anymore. Maybe Mark, you can come on with me and help fight off these guys on the Rush Rash show, because I've already got a really bad itch about it.
I mean, they are trying to get me on the Rush Rash show, and I do want to get on there. So perhaps I will have to. I'll have to get it there and stick up for my boy, because I won't have. Say what you want. I'm talking to all the listeners here. Say what you want about me. Say slander my name all you want. Do not slander my co-host, Corey Morissette. No. First of all, don't do it, because of all people to slander, he's not the one. And two, if you do that, he is very much assuredly going to destroy your podcast from the inside out and consume it. He's already going to consume all the other ones, but you will be first on his list of destruction when he collectively forms the CMPU, and you'll be devoured and crushed. You don't want that. Nobody wants that.
So, I got a plan. I appear on your show. Nobody tunes in, and then your podcast dies. See, that's how I destroy the podcast.
So
Chaz doesn't use the term,
Mr. Taz, who real name shall be nameless, even though it was already just named, but I don't care. Mr. quote unquote Taz, ease up.
Look, it's gonna rain paint. Come on. Why can't we all just get along?
Exactly.
I was gonna say real quick on the Alex thing versus, you know, I think Mikey kind of took Van Halen as a 9-to-5 job, and he'd do his thing, and then he'd go home to his family. And Ed's like, hey, I want to jam. I want to do stuff. Mm-hmm. And Alex would be like, I'll be right over. And him and Alex would basically write all the time. So that's why in Ed's mind, Alex was as big a part as Dave or Sam or himself, where Mikey was home with his family. And it's like, dude, you're not contributing. I think that's kind of where all this started from.
I mean,
and Mikey, and he said he was intimidated. He said, I was intimidated. Who's going to bring stuff forward to Eddie Van Halen? Like, hey, I got a riff, Eddie. Right. You want to check this out? Like,
you can check this out.
Dave Grohl said the same thing when he was in Nirvana. He'd have like a lyrics for a song, but I'm not going to take that to Kurt fucking Cobain and say, hey, check out this little ditty I wrote. Like, you don't do that. So,
I'll do harmonies and play the drums, and that's it. So he's like, I don't need to present lyrics to Kurt. Yeah. Different lyric writing entirely. Fellas, it's been a while between live shows and, interviews. We haven't done a wheel spin in quite some time. We haven't done a regular show. So, getting back into it, what do you say, Corey, can you start us off with some Van Halen news?
I would love to. And actually there's a piece of Van Halen news that pertains to this show that I wanted to let you know. We got an email from FeedSpot. I have no idea what FeedSpot is.
I've heard of it.
You've heard of FeedSpot? Well, they wanted to personally congratulate us because our podcast and the podcast Will Rock was selected by their panelist as one of the top 5 Van Halen podcasts on the web.
All right.
So out of 2 podcasts.
I was about to say out of two. Yay.
Well, number 1 was Dave and Dave Unchained, the Van Halen podcast.
Fair. That's fair.
We were number 2.
Ooh, of course.
Number 3 was a podcast called Fair Warning, which I hadn't heard before, but I gotta check these guys out. The write-up is Jared, Chris, and Augie go balls to nuts on one of the best rock innovators party bands of all time, Van Halen, starting at the backyard shows.
Balls to nuts?
That's what they said, yeah. Sounds like a Sammy lyric.
You're the right. Balls to nuts.
Oh, come on. Balls to nuts. Okay, good. That away, boys.
Yep. Cherries on bananas, if you will.
God damn it.
Number 4 was the Amen Corner, which what do Van Halen, the Yankees, Judaism, Israel, Fatherhood, and Goodfellas have to do with each other? What? Find out on the Amen Corner. So we beat them out, which, good.
I'm going to assume the answer to that question is nothing, but I don't know.
Well, it's a good,
tagline. I like it.
It's word salad.
Yeah. And number 5 was a show called The Shoe with Miles Schumann. But his write-up had nothing to do with Van Halen. But so we beat out all those shows. We finished second to Dave and Dave Unchained. So pretty good company, I think. Thank you very much.
Hey, you know what? I'll take it. So yeah, appreciate the vote. And maybe one day we'll steal the top slot. But maybe not. If not, cool. I'm good with being number 2.
I got to say, we just got a backhanded compliment from Jeff Brewer, who says, I was going to say top 5 out of 4. Dave and Dave are good, but you guys are far more productive. So not even we're good. We're just more productive than they are. Thanks, Jeff. Yeah.
We're more consistent. That's about it. But it's just the
you
quality.
Guys just, you just keep delivering. You just keep showing up.
Yep.
We deliver number 2s. That's what we do. So
you just do.
Yeah. I love that.
Well, that's cool. That's cool, though. I'll take it. What else is going on in Van Halen news?
We had all sorts of stuff. We had the Sammy Hagar birthday bash came up. Daily Roth released a couple of tunes. One of them is really we're gonna play a little bit of it because this thing's fucking interesting. This is the new David Lee Roth track called The Shit That Killed Elvis.
The shit that killed Elvis, and it almost killed the chimpanzee.
I don't want to hear another fucking word or any bad word about Sammy lyrics ever.
Hold on a second,
Mark. Hear it after that.
Hold on a second, Mark. That song as tedious and terrible as it is, he doesn't actually sound terrible. That's one of those things where it's just like, I don't know. What is he doing? He's fucking around.
He sounds like a monkey. That's what he sounds like.
Sing the song
like,
about, you know, a monkey. Yeah.
It's 1,000 times.
Oh, he froze
doing
up.
Any of these Van Halen re-records.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I guess kudos to him for going original this time, but now I'm kind of wishing he would re-release the Van Halen song.
John 5 playing in the California session stuff, or is that something, is this something different?
No, that was the California sessions. Yep,
it was. You're
correct. Okay. Yep. He says it's autobiographic. Summer Over the Rainbow Bar and Grill is the opening theme song. It's about an Indiana kid who goes to sleep, think the Wizard of Oz, and the characters in his life, the butcher, the baker, and the newspaper guy, pop out of posters and sing a song called Giddy Up. And he finds his way to all the good things in life, having discovered rock in the 60s, and there's a song titled Alligator Pants. I'm not even going to fucking finish this quote, because I don't know what the hell he's talking. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That Rainbow song, when Ed died, he dedicated that song to Ed. Which really doesn't make any sense, but
the shit that killed Elvis was drugs, and it sounds like Dave's dipping his toe back into that pool with this again. If all of you heard what I just heard, I don't want to hear another bad word about Sammy Hagar lyrics ever for the remainder of the time that we are doing this show. I don't want to hear it, okay? Because I will, anytime I hear it, I'm going to revert you back to this Dave song real quick.
Hold on a second. Reference points. David Lee Roth right now versus David Lee Roth 30 years ago. He used to be able to write good stuff.
Yeah. But I mean, that's like, you know,
I know
that could be said. The opposite could be said about like Sammy now. I haven't heard anything new from Sammy in quite some time. I admit I haven't listened to any of,
you wouldn't like
chicken foot stuff. Probably not, but I would appreciate it just because of the source, but who knows? That's crazy though. Speaking of Sammy, slight diversion. Corey, did you see our boys at the Bogus Oda show? Got a sit down with him.
Yes. I was going to call that out. Our good friends, the bro hosts, went to the Red Rocking Brewer Company opening, in Detroit, Darren and Brent, and they got to meet and actually have Sammy Hagar on their show. So that's pretty damn cool. So go check out the Bogus Oda show. That interview is going to be coming up pretty soon. Fantastic kudos, guys. I'm so happy. Yeah, there's a great picture of Sammy on the set during the interview. So go check out the Bogus Oda show. I'm so happy for him that they got that interview.
Right on. Well, okay. Dave's insanity aside, anything else of note?
Oh, sure. Of course, Wolfgang Van Halen got married to his lovely lady. That was a week ago, I believe. So, yeah, congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Van Halen on their nuptials. That's fantastic. We also had, there's a lot of great interviews on the Van Halen news that Sammy Hagar and Eddie Van Halen get candid in part two of an 87 guitar player interview. There's a link to opera singer Here's Van Halen's Right Now for the first time. That's really cool. There's a little bit on the Instant Magic of 5150. A lot of great articles to get caught up on the Van Halen news desk. Everybody should run there and get your Van Halen news. There's a ton going on right now, so go check it out.
There you go. So, if you guys haven't checked out our Twitter or X, whatever it's called now, whatever, there's a lovely little video of this this woman playing Van Halen on her electric violin, and it's awesome. So I just wanted to point that out because I was thinking about it. So go to our X Twitter page, whatever it is. We've retweeted it, but she's playing, is she playing Panama in that video? Or is she playing? Yeah, she is playing Panama.
It was Panama.
It's really, really, really good on an electric violin. So check that out. Jeff says Dave used to be the clown prince of rock. Now he's pretty much just a clown. When you're a clown, nobody takes you seriously. And, you know, like, but look, as Matt kind of pointed this out too, it's like, actually a few of you pointed it out, he's not a young man anymore. He's quite old. Kevin mentioned he's not looking very well either. He should probably be in a home. So we can chalk all this up to Dave's having, we won't call it a midlife crisis. We'll call it end of life crisis, and I hate to put it that way, but that's kind of what's going on. But I don't know what else to add to that. My brain's going to be thinking about that thing you just played for a while, because holy shit.
I will say the acoustic version is better. They do have two versions on the Van Halen news desk.
There's two versions.
The acoustic version's a little bit better.
Oh my God.
Josh had a great comment in the chat. He says, met up with Dave at his house and said the first hour was pure comedy and the next 2 hours were pure hell. There you go.
I believe it. And I'm sorry you had to endure that, Josh. So. Well, we won't be going to the our rock and polls because there's no poll. We haven't done a regular show in some time, so not really a lot to cover there. But what we have been doing, you guys, if you haven't been keeping up, we've got live recordings on audio format, and then we have a great interview we did last week with Steve Rosen, who wrote the book on Eddie Van Halen called Tone Chaser. So check out that interview we did with him, and check out Tone Chaser. It's just full of Eddie Van Halen stories, so giving them a shout out. So unless you got more news, you wanna move on?
Sure. Josh had a clarification there. It wasn't him in that story.
Oh, I see.
Lou Saraceno, I think. Yeah. Did we actually ever go over the poll results for Beats Working? That was the last song we did.
Wow.
Well, let's go over and check it.
Yeah. Well, I got the results right here.
The last poll that we did was getting everybody's thoughts on Women and Children First as an album, right, which got an astounding 96%. So yes, that, you know, gives it to you there. But yeah, tell me about Beats Working.
Well, let's see. Beats Working, we had 78.4% What Dreams Are Made Of, 21.6% The Dream Is Over. So Working is number 60 in our overall ranking so far. Yep. It's right below Oh Pretty Woman from Diver Down, right above Dreams from 5150, which Dreams I thought should be a heck of a lot higher.
Yeah, that's atrocious, you guys. Come on.
And if you want to
let's see what people are saying about this. I got it right.
Well, I was just going to go to the Chaz Analytics here too.
Oh, sure. About, go ahead.
Women and Children First. It comes in now at number 5 in our standings of voting because that's now our second complete album. So fair warning, yeah, Women and Children currently in the top 5. 1984 still leading the way. Then the self-titled debut, Fair Warning, Van Halen 2, and Women and Children. So I thought that was pretty cool. And if we go over to this screen here, you kind of get an idea of, David Lee Roth still leads the way, 86.5%. Sammy's at 71.3%. And Gary at a woeful 44.8%. Although, if you follow Mitch LaFon on Twitter, he lives in Montreal, I believe. And he put out a controversial tweet where he said, this is an absolute fact that he listed five tracks off Van Halen 3 were better than anything on Diver Down. And that's just shocking.
That man needs to be taken away.
More so than Dave, yes.
I wasn't even going to bring it up, but since it's here, it's like, yeah, a hot take.
I'm the guest. I can say what I want.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead. You absolutely can.
Hospital. What's his name, Corey?
Mitch LaFon. And Chaz points out Mitch is as high as Dave.
Yeah. Hospital.
Hospital.
Well, I tried to think about this, though, as I was asking our audience, like, what do you think about this? I had myself a think. It's possible Van Halen 3, much like our friend Michael Green, maybe there's something to that album for Mitch that just sort of that just hit at the right time. Or sure. maybe he just overall just doesn't have an issue with it and just really digs the product. And if that's the case, cool.
There's not. I tried to get into that album. I think he's trying controversy. I tried very hard. I wrote a comment to you guys. Like,
you did.
It's just not happening. I mean, maybe there's some little bright elements you can pick. It's the worst produced album. One of the worst produced rock albums I've ever heard. Mike Post as a producer is a joke.
Yeah. Exactly right. You can like that album, and that's fine. But you cannot compare it to
Diver Down. That's a classic. That's
fucking insane. I mean, there's like 3 songs on Diver Down that are maybe top 5 or top 10 for any Van Halen fan. Like, no.
No, yeah, exactly.
You can argue 3 is good for you in your fan of life where you had to listen to it. But
even Kevin Brown, who is not a fan of Diver Down, said like that's a trash take.
That's ridiculous.
But Scott did.
He does, Scott's wrote,
yeah, he has a very personal story about Van Halen 3.
There you go.
But still,
you're going to make that statement, you discount everything else.
Right.
The fact that he said, this is a fact, this is truth, these songs are better than anything on Diamond, that's the thing. If he said, hey, I prefer Van Halen 3 because I have this personal connection, fantastic. Yeah, 100% agree.
Like, great, cool.
Yeah.
It's like, here's
but when you
fact,
frame it as, no. Yeah, this is a fact, once is better than anything on Diver Down, you get a from pretty much everybody.
Rolling out of the car. You're out on the highway, rolling down the street.
And roll, my dude.
I remember I bought that the day it came out.
80 miles an hour. You're gone.
And I stood in line and got this collector's 10 thing that had guitar picks and everything. And once I got there and I was the only one in line and knew something was wrong. And I remember driving around with my friends and we're all Van Halen fans. I'm the only one who had it and playing it in the car. And they're like, Mike, this is shit. This sucks. No, it doesn't. It's great. It's awesome. It's Van Halen. And I tried. That's what I mean. I tried.
Yeah, exactly. You're trying. Hey, we're all trying. As you all know, this Van Halen 3 has been sort of the bane of my existence on this show because it's just I have not been digging, with the exception, I think, of one track so far that I thought wasn't terrible. The rest of it has just been just a dumpster fire.
According to our audience here, thanks again to the Chazalytics here, Diver Down currently has an average What Dreams Are Made of 82.57%. Van Halen 3 is way down here. Its current average of What Dreams Are Made of 44.84%. I think our audience tends to agree Diver Down maybe a little bit better than Van Halen 3.
And it's cool.
Oh, here we go. Scott's got a great idea regarding Van Halen 3. Ryan Chaz, you win. There you go. Great idea. Let's see him. Hey, if they can do Lulu. Yes. Yep.
You can do it's Lulu. Like yeah, have it. Look, yeah, exactly.
It might work for a couple people. And if it works for you, awesome. That is great.
Yep.
But you can't compare it to another album and call it a fact. You want facts? We'll get Chaz to pull up.
We got the Chazalytics to back us up. That's right.
Yeah. Right. Not just,
but Mark, you said it. And at a time of your life, it was a thing and it came out and it was great. But don't say it was better than this or that. That's just fucking.
Yeah, because it's just not. I mean, for my money, personally, I would say, and I know everyone's down on Van Halen covers, but I would say pick me one cover off Diver Down and I will. That's better than anything on Van Halen 3 for my money. So just one cover song. So
Happy Child.
Take that once, for what it's will.
Once is not a great song.
Once He's is joking, the right? possibly the oof. Once is possibly the worst song on that album.
It's very divisive. Very divisive.
Once is a great song.
Yep.
I can't tell if Ryan is being sarcastic.
He loves it.
That's right. Yeah.
And you know what? It doesn't just work for Ryan. There's a lot of other people out there too. Yeah. When we did the poll, it was 43% What Dreams Are Made of, 56 The Dream
that's
Is Over. So
right. Oh, I
a
can't
lot of people like
once.
Yeah. Yeah.
Van Halen, it's a frustrating.
Ryan owns it, and absolutely he should. Like I love that he loves once very, very much. Yeah. Didn't work for me.
Did not work for me either. Matter of fact, it worked. At like not well for me in the slightest. Like
Chaz's not a fan. Yeah, Chaz isn't a fan. And we said it like we didn't think anything would eclipse. How many say I? But I think once is the worst track.
Yeah, absolutely.
I honestly think once is the biggest piece of shit they've ever done. How many say I is Eddie doing a thing close to his heart, which he shouldn't have shared. Okay, but at least it was out of his. It's like once is just like this weird collaboration that is not anything like they've ever done. It's not rock and roll. It's certainly not, like you guys said, adult contemporary. What is that?
Yeah.
Get
out of here with this shit.
I think that's why once took the slot for worst of the songs so far, because it was How Many Say I for a long time, and then we heard once, and I was like, well, when you factor in all of these other things, like you just pointed out, How Many Say I, for all of its, you know, faults and flaws, it was a personal song Eddie wanted to do. It's like, okay, cool. I can appreciate that. I don't like the way it sounds or way it's put together, but I can appreciate that. Whereas, again, to your point, Matt, Once is just this collective of crap, and it's just like it just doesn't. It for me, it doesn't work. For it's Ryan, so it works great for a bunch of for the 40 something percent of people that voted that said, yeah, it works. Like, okay, see, like I don't hear what you're hearing.
I think Josh might be calling us out for being a little hypocritical, but again, none of us are saying this is a fact. This is just opinion.
Right.
I'll give an example, like Fire in the Hole. I really tried to like that song, and the outro to it is one of Ed's best riffs, I think. And if they would have made the outro of a song, it would have been great. But then you have Gary straining. He doesn't know if he's Sam or if he's Dave. The lyrics aren't whatever. They're okay, I guess. It's a weird song. And you try to like it, and you're like, this isn't that great. Then you hear this outro, and you're like, oh, my gosh, this is fantastic. And then it ends, and it's like, why couldn't that have been the song? That's the frustration of three. Like, every song is like that except once, but that's just bad. But
now, Scott Everett says, Without You might be better than any of the covers. I liked Without You. I actually upvoted it. Would you say Without You has a chance against, like, say, Oh, Pretty Woman, which Kevin Brown said is probably one of his most hated in the Van Halen catalog?
What is wrong with you, Kevin?
He's a thief of joy.
Yeah. Where have all the good times gone? That's a great cover.
I like Without You.
Love it.
There's a couple songs I actually like, but none of them.
I can't remember if that was the one that I upvoted or not. I can't remember. I just remember I upvoted once. Well, nevertheless, the point and the moral of all of this is like what you like and be proud of it. Don't state it as a fact of comparison of two things that shouldn't be in comparison, though. It's like, whatever. So, Mitch, thank you for the tweet. Appreciate your hot takes and all that. I just disagree with it entirely. And it's not a fact. It's just a very strong opinion you have. And I salute you for it. So
we've already done Year to the Day, Tom. We've already done
Year to the Day. Yeah, we did Year to the Day.
No. Everybody.
Which Mark and I both voted yes to, actually. We voted yes to two songs, Mark, Without You and Year to the Day. So.
Oh, it was two songs. Wow. I must have been feeling very generous on one of those.
Has Year to the Day happened?
Yeah, it's happened. Yeah. Not that long ago, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Kevin last song. Kevin is a Kinks
groupie. That's 100% correct.
Right. The last song we did, the last song we took to the poll was Beats Working. So going to our tweets to see here what people are saying about it. Beats Working got, as you pointed out, 78.4% What Dreams Are Made Of. So with our lovely patrons commenting in the tweets here, if you want your tweet guaranteed read on the show, join our Patreon. Get on the tier. We'll find one for you. Ryan Powell, the infamous Ryan Powell, says, love the concert opening and solid verse riff. While the chorus is not the strongest, the breakdown leading into the solo with a great Wolfie Van Halen bass riff and cowbell is a standout, as is the outro solo. And yes, that long final dive bomb, hashtag what dreams are made of. Absolutely agree with that. The aforementioned Kevin Brown says, hashtag what dreams are made of. Just, I prefer the 76 demo idea for the song. And I still really don't like the bass heavy mix on almost all of A Different Kind of Truth. But Ed is flying here, and Wolfie adds some great licks. Dave's vocals has to be tuned slash modified, but it works on the track. Would be a third option song for me. So so he's, you know, he's keen on it. He's just not super, super keen, but that's fair. I personally kind of liked the changes that they made, and I like how Beats Working came around as opposed to that demo, but the demo's still pretty good. So no hate going on there. All right, moving on to Scott Monroe says, you guys said it all. It's a great way to close out Van Halen's final album. The slow burn ending is melancholy after Eddie Van Halen's passing. I do wish there were harmonies in the chorus, a la the Put Out the Lights demo, but it's still a thundering banger that's top tier on A Different Kind of Truth. Hashtag what dreams are made of. That's right. Yeah, it just slipped my mind there that was like the last recorded track for them. So yeah, I guess it would be a little bit melancholy these days. So good catch there. Thank you, Scott. Greg Zito says, great track. Loved hearing the demo version because it shows how they develop some good ideas into a fully realized song. Yeah, you get into the early minds of their creative process and see like Nothing is thrown away. We're going to recycle and use it again, make it something either really awesome or not so awesome, but most of the time really awesome. I'm assuming this is Chaz, but regarding Roger says, red hot, baby, like it or not. I think that's Chaz. If that wasn't Chaz, then oh, look, free tweet. Brad Gould says, it's just a fun song with many pieces of what made Van Halen great. One final fantastic solo from Eddie Van Halen, hashtag what dreams are made of. No argument there, man, not at all. Tom Armbruster says, I'm going 49% the dream is over on this one. Wow. It's fine, but not inspired. Love the guitar solos and the final note decay with hindsight. Hits all the feels, but it's not enough to tip it to what dreams are made of for me. Fair enough, Tom. A 49%, you know, that's kind of like, it's like those two songs I upvoted on Van Halen 3. You'll get the upvote, but just barely. In this case, Tom's like, you get the downvote, but just barely. And I respect it. It's fine. And, you know, you weren't a dick about it. You weren't be like, nah, fuck this song. They should have gone on a higher note. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, no. Showed a little class. And that's what we appreciate about you there, Tom. And finally, Jeff Brewer says, neither the best nor the worst on this album. The main riff is okay. I like the verse riff quite a bit. Dave tried fairly hard. I like the sound of the background vocals from the demo. The blend of Dave, Ed, and Mike in the late 70s, early 80s is hard to beat. But my vote is thumbs up. No, you're not kidding. Those early harmony days, very, very hard to argue against that. And I'm not gonna, because it's awesome. Oh, God. Is this going to be like the new torturous tune?
It's the new Beautiful Girls.
I think I'd rather you play Beautiful Girls, if I'm going to be honest with you. I don't need to hear about how monkeys killed Elvis or something. I don't know whatever the hell Dave's talking about. But there's the tweets from our patrons. We had other tweets, but if you want your tweet guaranteed read on the show, join our Patreon. I guarantee you we have a tier that will work for you. And if we don't, let us know. We'll make it. All right.
Absolutely.
So I think now it's time to do our favorite thing. It's time to do our favorite thing we haven't done in quite some time. Everybody raise your glasses and say it with me. Manifestations. Yes. And finally on our Discord, we had quite a bit. People are excited to manifest a song for tonight. Some of them went so far as to say, honestly, anything, just spin the damn wheel. It's been like 3 weeks. So we know we've been busy. Going to the Discord real quick. Yeah. That's you, Corey, saying stuff like that. And I have to weed through all this. And I got them. You're all talking about something about phlegm and hacking.
That's right. Ignore the phlegm. Scott Monroe wanted to hear Atomic Punk. He wants to go back to VH1. Chaz wants to hear Spanked because he's a thief of joy. Davey, good buddy Davey Lee Smitty, wants to hear The Trouble with Never. He wants to go back to A Different Kind of Truth. Tyron Armbruster says anything. And then Jeff Brewer said anything is acceptable, but if he preferred a track, it'd be Atomic Punk. Ryan Howell says, in honor of the collection part two, he's manifesting When It's Love. And I think that's a great choice. I haven't got my collection part two yet. I was actually talking with one Kevin Brown here today about maybe I'll be in Saskatoon in a few weeks for a Kiss concert. Going to try and pick it up there because Regina didn't have any.
This past Monday over here.
Oh, yes. In honor of Steve Rosen characterizing Sammy's songwriting as a bit pretentious, he thinks When It's Love would be apropos. I agree. I was kind of shocked when you kind of asked Steven which vocalist do you prefer. He's like, I don't really like either.
Yeah, he's like, I don't like either, but he made a point to start off with Dave just wasn't my guy, and I was like, oh shit, hot take. I was ready for it, but he did admit that he thought that Sammy was the better singer, and kind of like this whole time I've been preaching is like, as a vocalist, a singer, in actual, you know, in technical terms, Sammy stands like above so many, but especially Dave.
Steven hasn't heard this.
You think that'll sway his
chroma key? Chroma key. There's a term no one's used since 1987. Yeah.
That song is growing on me every time you play it.
when you email the Steve Rosen website back with the link to the show that he was on, go ahead and send him this one as well. Just be like, hey, here's this, something for funsies. tell us your take on this Dave track.
Yeah. Let's go back to manifestations. I'm going to get back to being happy. So, Kevin Brown agrees with When It's Love. He doesn't give a shit if it's a bit schmaltzy. It's a perfect little pop ballad, and Ed plays some very tasty keyboard on the track. No arguments there. And that's when the whole phlegm hack thing started, thanks to Jeff Brewer, when he said, yes, the music is tasty, but Sam's opening phlegm hack always knocks it down a notch for me. So that's when that whole thing happened, and then everybody kind of picked up on it. Yeah. And it was like, we should all post phlegm hack to confuse Mark. And so that's why at the beginning. Yeah.
And, if there's one thing Mark loves, is to be confused.
Yeah. Oh, I should say, Jeff Brewer says, Rosen said better singer, not a good songwriter. So that was kind of his point about
saying. Well, yeah. But again, that's what I'm saying. Like, and I have conceded on the songwriting portion of it because you motherfuckers always keep bringing up for breakfast. So, but now, like, all right.
Everyone's loving the David Lee Roth song now. Look at this. Right. It's growing on everybody. Look at this.
You're all insane. But anyway, I am going to manifest Seventh Seal. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, okay.
For no other reason other than I want to hear it. So, Matt Lacoste, back on the show. What song do you want to manifest for tonight?
House of Pain.
Ooh, he was ready.
Let's finish off 1984. Like it.
Yep. Oh,
might as well. Yeah. So, Michael, how about you, sir?
So last time I was here, I made the mistake. I was going to manifest Beats Working. I changed it the very last second to Summer Nights. Right. So I learned my mistakes. So this time I was going to manifest Jamie's Crying, but I did get the collection. So in honor of that, I'm going to do Black and Blue.
Ooh.
Black and Blue is a good one. I think we did House of Pain. That's not the track on 1984 that we have left, I don't think. Oh yeah, we do.
Oh, House did of we?
Pain, yeah. Yeah, Scotty Monroe said you did that one already. I wonder which one.
Oh, geez.
He's referring to.
Damn it!
No, House of Pain is still on the wheel. We're good on that one.
Thought so. Yeah, because I did it last time. I thought.
Yeah. Kevin Brown with the line of the night says, "Moles grow on you too. Doesn't mean you want them." So there you go.
In relation to what, Kevin Brown?
Really, when you said that this song is growing on you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're saying that Dave's song's a grower, not a shower. Well, I don't think it's a grower or a shower.
Seventh Seal, we've already done. I thought so.
Yeah. Oh, shit. You're right. My bad. I didn't mean
Seventh Seal. Are you thinking Amsterdam?
I meant Amsterdam. That's I thought so. I meant
Thank
Amsterdam.
You, Scott.
You're correct. Scott, we definitely did.
You take 2 weeks off, man.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Like fuck. 3 weeks. Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't even know what the fuck's happening here. All I know is I'm
I don't either. What do you want to manifest, Corey? It's your turn.
Holy cow. God, you know, I was thinking Humans Being because I know Chaz hates it. And because of the collection, too, I thought that would be a good one. But
that hasn't happened. You know,
it hasn't happened. No. So, yeah, I'm going to go with that one. Fuck Chaz. I'm going to go with Humans Being. He keeps manifesting Spanked. So I'm going to manifest Humans Being. And I've hit that's three times. So I got
to that's the theme of tonight's show is fuck Chaz. Or Kevin, or Mitch, or, you know, just like whomever, like who else wants to talk some shit?
I love Kevin. He's so tiny. He fits right in your pocket.
Look, as a short king myself, I take umbrage with those with those comments. So I got your back there, Kevo. But that said, are you really 4'11"? Because I don't believe you. anywho, so all right, cool. We got our manifestations ready and set, and man, look at that. I can sit back and clearly read all of those titles. That means that we are slowly but surely approaching the end of the wheel. We're not there yet, but it is
a lot
coming.
To go.
It is coming our way. We do have a lot to go. We got under 30, but I mean, it's, you know, we still got
plus life
got a ways.
We have 27 left on the wheel.
27, yeah.
That's so. It?
That's it?
And yeah, 27 left. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
And only almost 2 years later. So yeah, there we go. Let's see. There's four of us on the panel here. What do you say?
Oh, there's eight in the chat, too.
Oh,
we got
so 12.
We can't forget them yet.
Aftershock hasn't gotten hit yet.
Yeah,
no,
it's still there.
No, we haven't.
All right. One, two, three. seven, eight.
There's
nine,
still some
10,
good ones.
11,
there's still some real good bangers.
12.
So these last bit of shows are going to be real, real fun, I think. So let's see what happens tonight, though.
All right, let's throw it over to Sammy Hager.
Here we go.
Oh, so close.
Ooh.
Oh, of course. Oh, it's no. Van Halen 3.
No.
One I want. Oh.
Unbelievable.
Who didn't see that coming?
I saw that coming. God. There was too much Van Halen 3 talk. Wait a minute. I know what's happening. This is some sort of a Samhain Halloween conspiracy. I think Mitch cursed us with his Van Halen 3 talk because he knew he was stirring the pot, the cauldron, if you will. Like this cauldron right here, he was stirring it. And he was like, yes, come to me with my hot take and tell me how much you hate it, whatever. All the while, we weren't listening that the Van Halen 3 manifestations were just like oozing under the surface, ready to pop up. And well, if that was indeed the game plan, congratulations, Mitch, you win. Also, yeah. I might have some other choice words for you, depending on how this song goes. I have no idea. As you know, the only time I've listened to Van Halen 3 is on this show, so I don't know what to expect.
Mark, this might be the chance for this album to prove us we are all wrong. This might be it, right here.
That's right.
Chance, because I haven't listened to this song in, I don't know, 15 years. Maybe with fresh ears. We'll all be proven wrong. Mark, you will think this is great. Corey will think it is great. We'll all think this is great.
That's a great attitude.
The rest of them can be validated.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah.
Scott Monroe says it's a good one.
He says it's a good one.
Scott
it's
knows
a good
his
one,
stuff.
Guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I normally trust Scott, but he also really loves the song Once, then I do not. So right. I'm going to throw it over. I want to throw it over to Michael. What do you think? Is Matt right? Is this going to be the one that changes our mind?
Remember what I said about Fire in the Hole? It applies to One I Want. Like, there are some good elements here. And then some things that you're going to go, how is this compared to Diver Down? And by the way, I think you had a Gary Voodoo doll or something that he's using to manipulate the wall.
Like I said, it's a conspiracy. Maybe we have long since had a suspicion that Gary's been following, and maybe Gary has heard the show, and maybe this Mitch person is in cahoots. Like maybe there's something happening here. I don't know. Maybe. Chaz seems to think it sucks balls, so
it does.
He might be right. But Scott might be right as well. I don't know. I don't know what to expect.
I trust Scott. He said he downvoted once.
We're the same.
Oh, okay. My bad, yeah. Scott. My bad. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Can I tell a quick story?
Yes.
All right. I went to see Van Halen with Gary Cherone with a group of friends, and none of us were very excited to see this because we didn't like the album, but we're going to do it anyway. And we're in a car with friends of mine who are just going to the show, and they didn't even like Van Halen. They're like, God, this is awful. What do you guys want to do after? And I was like, I don't know. We're just going to go to the show and hang out. It's going to be fine. And then we went to the show, and I think this was the second song they played. And for 30 seconds of the song, I was like, hey, man, this is pretty good. And then Gary started doing his thing, and I was like, all right, should we leave? We left in, like, I'm not kidding, 20 minutes into the show.
Wow.
Walked the fuck out.
Yikes.
Left.
That's
it was
rough.
Awful.
That's what you want to hear. That's what you want to hear. Like, this was the second song.
Yeah, I saw the three tour and it stayed for the whole thing. But it's when Gary started doing his Broadway show moves, and it's like,
Gary has Broadway show moves.
He does. Like, isn't he in like a Queen kind of cover band or something that he does all these Queen tributes and he sings?
He's got a move.
But he does those. He was doing those moves. It just doesn't fit with Van Halen. Not that there's its own place for it, but it's not Van Halen. And you can't do that moves with Mean Street or something, which was in the set.
He did. He tried it though.
Oh, yeah. Do you think was? Do you think he was trying to no pun intended, manifest a little bit of Dave in that little like performance?
Maybe. Maybe.
Because, you know, Dave likes, Dave's got, you know, he had some moves, so.
Brian Powell says, because that's why Dave doesn't have Broadway show moves?
That's exactly why I asked, because it's like, well, here's the thing, though.
Yeah. David invented the thing. David invented the thing. Gary was trying to kind of do a David thing and not be a Sammy thing. It was really weird.
Well, definitely not a Sammy thing, because Sammy did, he wouldn't bother dancing on stage like that. Jeff was not a fan. His body movements were annoying, he says. So
now, anyone on the call?
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
For anyone in the chat, do you know what the original working title of this song was? We'll give everyone a minute. I should play the Price Is Right thing. Eat My Balls? That is incorrect.
Eat My Balls,
Good try.
Good try, Michael.
It was a good try. It was,
I thought it might have had something to do with Superman or something like that, or superhuman, but I might.
Well, man is in the title, actually. According to C.J. Chilvers, our good friend at the Van Halen, who wrote the Van Halen Encyclopedia, the original working title was Candyman.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Kevin Brown said, was it called Out of Ideas?
that's a good
one. Holy fucking shit.
The Candyman can, but should he? That would be Ryan the question.
Ryan knew it. I knew Ryan.
Of course
Ryan
you did.
It.
Of course
good
you
job,
did.
Good job, buddy. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. How is Ryan into this album? Come on, Ryan Powell. What are we doing?
Should we get Ryan?
Let's hear it. Ryan. Let's hear it. Let's break it down. I can't wait to listen to this.
I should send Ryan a link so he can get in here and he can defend it, because I'm like Matt. I haven't heard this song in probably 15 years. So I'm going in with an incredibly open mind. I'm hoping I love it. Yeah. Oh, and Jeff said working title, the one I don't want.
Yeah, you're the one I want.
It's already divisive on how the song is going to go.
What I want.
He's have a lot of manifestos. Of course you do. Yeah. Yes.
Scott says, if you're not digging Gary on this song, be open to the solo and the outro.
I'll be open to as much of it as I can possibly be. But as you all know, I'm not keen on anything that I've heard from Van Halen 3. Even the ones I upvoted were just kind of like almost reluctant. So I'm nervous. I'm going into this nervous, but ready when you are.
All right, let's do it. This is the third track from Van Halen 3. It was also a single off of Van Halen 3. This is One I Want. Man, before the drums and the guitar kicked in, I thought I was listening to Extreme. Like, it didn't sound like a Van Halen song.
No, it didn't whatsoever. And but then as soon as Eddie comes in there, it's like, oh, it is.
Well, even as soon as Alex kicked in, I'm like, okay, because like, right. You know, Pat Gary and whoever they got drumming for him now, I can't remember his name, are good drummers, but they're not Alex Van fucking Halen, right? So as soon as the drums kicked in, I'm like, okay. But yeah, it just...
I know your feelings, Mark, about Dave lyrics in the song, the new Dave song, but Pizza Man just wants a slice.
Superman, he looking for Lois. Yeah.
Superman! Pizza Man. I mean,
it's Batman, he's ordering like, seconds.
This is the dumbest iteration of Van Halen lyrics ever, and the sound sucks. Mix sucks.
Yeah, it makes
the song sucks. Go on.
Yeah, there's no Don Landy. Where's Don Landy? It's Mike Post, who I don't even think was there. I think he
Superman.
Yeah, it's
Kevin Brown agrees. Yeah, mix on this album really doesn't help it. Yeah, the mix is shit. Chaz says the VH tone was destroyed on this album. 100% correct.
Caesar man, get me two pizzas for the price of one.
I think you secretly love this song. That's what I think.
You know what? I don't like the fat shaming. Fat man, he's ordering seconds. Like, come on. Right. Like, I'm a fat man. I take offense to that. All right. Let's,
a good
let's
man, he's it. Hard to find.
Pizza man.
Superman, he looking for Lois. That's the one that gets me.
Oh, boy.
He is, though, right? Isn't he?
I mean, sure.
Right. Brian Powell says, we need a collection three with just this album.
This song fucking sucks.
Lyrics are marginally clever.
Goofy man, he's walking into walls. Goofy man, gonna find some stalls.
All right, let's find out what the mailman's doing. He's in the next verse. Let's check.
He's got
out.
More.
Yeah. Holy shit. Mailman looking more like your daughter. Straw man don't have a leg to stand on. Gay man looking for another. Candy man, yeah, the candy man can. Fuck the all the way man. Off.
What the fuck does any of that mean?
Holy cow.
What does any of that mean?
Hey, the candy man can.
It's like. It's all
the Sammy Davis shout out. Yeah.
Offensive too. Like, what the shit? Like, what are you talking about, dude? Gary.
It's
Gary. Barry. Come on.
Jeff loves come the on. Mailman looking more like your daughter line.
Yeah. Okay.
Willie.
I'm sure the brass at Warner Brothers loved this when it was turned into them and they're like, oh, here's the
deal now. Hey, guys. Nothing screams cool metal songs than Willy Wonka references.
That's and right.
We should all do more of those.
Okay. Ryan with a great critique here. Background vocals way too high or were way too in the background in the mix. And they were. And I didn't hear a lot of Ed in there. I just heard Gary doubling himself there. So. And Kevin asks, why is Gary trying to sing like a Chinese Bob Marley tribute act?
He started off so well vocally, just as you pointed out, Corey, and it's like it sounded like extreme. And we like him in extreme, but then the rest of the song and everybody else comes in and all of a sudden it's like he remembered he was in Van Halen and like, oh, wait. Okay, let me change it up real quick. Let me do my thing. And like,
remember, this is better than Diver Down. So remember that. So
that's right. Yeah.
This song is way better.
That's a fact, right?
Hang My is trash. This song is good. Remember that.
Oh, boy. Okay.
All right. White man trying to get a tan. The black man is looking for justice. The white man is just trying to get a tan.
White man trying to get a tan.
Oh, God.
What does he say?
Scott Everett. And then they turned around and made it a single.
Is that a societal comment?
I guess so.
Okay.
Well, the black man's looking for justice. The white man's trying to get a tan. I get what he's getting to there.
Ahead of his time.
Sure. Absolutely. Ahead of his time. Wow. Better than anything on Diver Down.
What a revolutionary.
All right, let's keep going.
just wanna buy it.
That's the craziest part of this song. It like it goes into this like this kind of slow, cool bridge into a thing, and then it's like feels so good, so good. Like it's like times a billion. How does it? What? They had to be doing massive drugs when they did this song. This is a
it's like this song all over the place. The whole album is all over.
Oh my god. Like it doesn't match at all. Cause you said what I want. Yeah, what I want. What I want.
As weird as it is to say that that little pre-chorus before the chorus like was the most intelligible thing lyrically that he said so far.
Like musically it was cool too, like when I hear the pre-chorus I'm like, oh, here's where the song redeems itself.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we got into the chorus and it's like, oh yeah, we just tripped and stumbled again.
What was that? Yeah. It's like, wait, you guys lost your momentum, what the hell just happened? At Jazz, a certain point you will stop apologizing this man. I'm certainly not apologizing for on this one because whew, Gary Lives Matter. Jesus,
they don't,
I mean, they don't. Gary's lives matter, yeah, sure, but these lyrics ain't it. This ain't it.
Yeah, Scott says Mikey's harmonies need to be turned up way louder in the chorus. I don't really hear him at all. Absolutely,
I don't hear him. Yeah, I don't hear him. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. All right, let's keep going here.
Get back.
Okay, you had me for most of that. I'm stuck on the whole Sandman kick mud in your eye. Like, no. Sandman doesn't deal with mud. He deals with sand. He's not going to kick mud in your eye. What the hell are you talking about?
Is he water is his greatest enemy, because then he gets all muddy. You're right.
He doesn't like mud. Yeah, what the What are you talking about?
Why drag Billy Joel into this? Like, why drag Billy Joel into this? Like, come on. What has he done to anybody?
He's
in the mood for a melody.
He's trying to trick you, but he has no payoff.
The other thing is,
like, what are we doing? That the mix of the vocals are so much higher than this amazing band.
It is really hard.
Van Halen ever sounded weaker than this?
No. I'll tee you up, the band
sounds mitigated. They're tossed into a corner while Gary and I don't know six Garys are singing that song. This song fucking sucks.
Yeah, Al is doing a good job, Corey. I was specifically listening to Alex Van Halen, and you could tell this is Alex Van Halen on the drums.
Yeah,
he does 100%. Have a pretty good sound. And the rest of it is what Matt just said.
Buried.
It is. And like Scotty said, Mikey's harmonies need to be turned up. And I said, I don't hear Mikey's harmonies. And everybody else is like, I don't hear Mikey either. I don't even know if he sang harmony on this. It just sounds like a very thin, very uninterested Gary in the background going, what? Like just over and over again. And
yeah.
It's six Garys doing the same thing. Hey, man. Yeah.
Scott, he now calls it a sweet and sour filibuster. We're still getting to the solo in the outro, which he said, you know, even if Gary loses you, the solo and the outro, hopefully we'll get you back.
Well, he's lost me, that's for sure. So I have to hope that the solo and stuff is gonna make up for it, because so far, no.
All right, well, let's keep going here. All right, before we get into it, I just got to say, according to the Van Halen Encyclopedia, they said that the parts of the song on which Ed and Gary shared vocals were recorded with a Shure 57 microphone. I have Shure 57 microphones, and they sound a fuck lot better than what we're getting off the vocals here. Like, the vocals sound so thin and so tinny. There's no low end on them at all.
No, and it just, and Gary is way too high up in the front. And yeah, I was kind of taking a step back from the vocals and trying really hard listening to the music and everything. And that buildup in the pre-chorus is really cool. The bad part about that is, one, you can't hear it, not really. And then two, they lead into that chorus, which kind of sort of fizzles out. You know, it's a great big buildup into something lackluster, you know, and that's a shame. But yeah, no, I agree with you about that, Corey, about the mics.
I'll tag on your lackluster, because what it is you expect this high harmony coming out of that, which could have been maybe kind of cool, but in this instance, it isn't. They mute Michael Anthony, and it's like a Eddie and Gary harmony, which is like, I don't know.
It's a weak structure of the chorus, and it's a big buildup to not much of anything. And
like
everything
on this album is in minor. Like, we're just gonna make it minor because we're gonna, you know, right? Subjugate everything you think about Van Halen. We can do it this way instead. And it's
right.
I don't know. They're just stepping on their own fucking feet.
Yeah.
Go on.
Josh says he hears a lot of clipping in there too. So yeah, it almost sounds like it's overmodulating a bit. All right. Well, hopefully we're getting to that redeeming solo here pretty quick. Let's check it out.
Well, Scott wasn't kidding about the solo.
It's decent. It's better than decent. It's Al and Ed. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, so this is when, you know, overnight, those two guys practice this over and over and over again, and you can help. Mm-hmm. They just forgot about the rest of the song, but.
that's my issue right now. Is like, yeah, that solo was awesome.
Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of wasted in this song.
I wonder, if Ed handed this music to Dave or handed this music to Sam? I mean, this might have been a great song. But
There's a really great song in here somewhere. But as of right now, and we're like over halfway through it, I don't know that it can be saved. I don't know.
Look, that solo rip is tangentially related to whatever they were doing before. Like, that really takes off and becomes its own thing. That is amazing. That's what this album could have been. And that's what makes it more disappointing to me, actually, because that segment is 10 out of 10. That is.
I would pick, if Ted Templeman was producing this, he would have built off of that. And he would have made this fantastic song, but whatever reason they picked Mike Post.
Not that weirdo
singing. The worst decision in the band.
What I want.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Just because, I mean, Ted has had a real good, you know, Van Halen's mentality in terms of like what the boys need to sound like, what makes them sound the best. I think you're right. I think he would have done something pretty radical building off of that solo. I think he absolutely would have. Yeah.
And this is one of the few songs on the album that Mikey actually played bass on.
Right.
I mean, I guess you can kind of tell if you're right. Listening close, and you have to listen close because the mix sucks, but that the low end, when it's actually doing some pretty cool stuff, it does have a little bit of that Mikey flair to it. So
That solo is a Van Halen jam. That thing could fit into many songs in the 80s, the 70s, the 90s. Just happens to be in this piece of shit song. Anyway.
That was badass. And I love when Alex kind of took a double time too. And Eddie had to keep up in the second half of that solo. That's the magic of Alex Van Halen. And I still can't believe I maybe allegedly said he didn't contribute to the songwriting, because that's 100%.
I want proof. I want a timestamp, and I want proof that this happened, because I don't believe it for a second. I think you are being misquoted.
You know what? I'm going to pull a Trump and say the audio was doctored. If for some reason that actually came through, because it's just not true.
That's your one Trump card you can pull.
That's right. All right, let's keep rocking.
A good outro.
Well, there you have it. One I Want from Van Halen 3. We didn't want it. Nobody wanted it, except for Mitch out there. And
Ryan Powell wanted it. Scott Monroe wanted it.
Yeah. Well, there you go, boys. There it is. I don't know what to say about it after that. I guess let's just get right to it, shall we? So, like, Matt, Michael, you're on the show. Back to it. So, Michael, we'll start with you. You've already you've had some interesting commentary before we even started this track on your thoughts on the album as a whole, and then you did point out a few things for this one. So, overall, after this listening, I must ask you: is One That I Want or One I Want is this what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
This pains me to do this. It really does, but... And the key word you said there, Mark, is overall. We were doing, if this was his best solo show, I would have gave it thumbs up. Best outro show, they gave it thumbs up. But for it's a song, an overall song. And it's not a good overall song. It just isn't. It's not even like 5150 or whatever. It's not good. It's like, it's just not a good song. The lyrics are some of the worst I've ever heard from the band.
And that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Corey knows.
The solo is fantastic. Like, as the comment said, I love the outro. They always have good outros. Solo is very good, too. Alex is good in the whole thing. Mikey, when he gives a little time to shine, it's good. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, the problem's Gary. That's the elephant in the room.
As is sometimes the case. But, you know, there it is. So, I feel like I don't even have to ask, but I'm going to anyway, because you're, you know, a guest and honorary panelist on the show. Matt, is One I Want What Dreams Are Made Of, or is the dream just completely over for you?
I made it obvious. But this is the most disappointing Van Halen song I can think of, because there were songs on this album that were obvious clunkers. You know, How Many Say I? I Don't Even Know Once. Fuck. And there's been other bad Van Halen songs, but this song was one of those where I saw it live and I thought in the moment it was kind of cool for a minute, but even live, when I was 25, maybe, seeing this shit, thinking it was cool, listening to it back, it's impossible to listen to. This song is garbage. It is terrible. The mix is terrible. Every single part of it is bad. It's one brother over the other brother just strangling Gary and his potential to do something. And Michael Anthony isn't even involved. This song is the worst Van Halen song.
Ooh, there's a hot take. We have heard some clunkers, but
this is the worst one.
Matt says this is the worst one. There you go. Well, then I throw it over to my co-host, Corey. You're usually more the optimist around here. And you were holding on to that optimism before we listened to the song. So having analyzed it thoroughly and having said the things that we have said overall, would you say One I Want is what dreams are made of for you, or is the dream over?
Apologies to Scott. The solo is really fucking badass. I loved it. I loved what Alex was doing throughout the whole thing. Michael was 100% correct. The outro I thought was kind of cool, but it's just not enough to save this for me. Lyrically, it's so fucking stupid. And I don't mind dumb lyrics if they sound cool, or, you know, if they don't like stand out and take me out of the experience of listening to the song to make fun of it, which does not happen here. These lyrics are really fucking dumb. And I found a quote from Gary Cherone about this song. He says, "What I Want, I thought, was the closest thing to Down the Strike Zone Van Halen," which I could not disagree more with. And he says, "I thought lyrically it was fun, that it could sit well with their old catalog." Again, it sits well with Up for Breakfast, but that's about the only old Van Halen song I think of. Yes, the solo section was fucking great. The outro was kind of neat. You had an opportunity to get some great Van Halen harmonies on the chorus, and you just didn't take it. And the vocal mix is so bad. Like, a Sure 57 sounds a hell of a lot better than what they just put out on this song. Like, you just took all the low end out of it. It's buzzing and clipping everywhere. It's the vocal is mixed so bad. Like, Mike Post, he could write a catchy theme song, but he can't mix an album 100%. And I think I liked it a little more than Matt. I won't say it's the worst, in their catalog. I still think Once is right up there in How Many Say I, but this is definitely The Dream Is Over for me. So Markimeyer, that's three downvotes tonight. Are you going to be the lone outlier who says this is what dreams are made of, or for you, is the dream over?
It's not like this track really had a good shot at making it, to be honest with you, because it's just, even before I heard the song, it's the wrong album. This is not the album that you want to show me a song from to think like, you might like this one. Like, unfortunately, much like what you said, Corey, the solo and the outros are fantastic, but they are wasted in this song because they're too good. I think they're too good for this song. I feel like that solo was constructed the way it is because I think maybe even Eddie knew that there was a lull, there was a drag, there was something that just wasn't quite, you know, cutting it. So maybe he decided, like, all right, let me give this track a little bit more oomph and just pulled out all the stops with this. So, because I mean, he really does rip in that solo, and it almost it doesn't go too long, but it goes much longer than typically his solos do, and that's okay in this regard. It's okay because I'd rather listen to him keep ripping that solo than go back to the structure of the original song. Alex sounds great when you can listen to Mike, when you can hear Mikey, he's doing some good stuff, like Michael pointed out. But it's not enough to save it. And I am, like Corey said, I am down for cheesy, stupid lyrics in a Van Halen song, as long as it doesn't take me out of it. The lyrics to Jump are so dumb and make no sense whatsoever, but we all love Jump. Jump, it's the biggest Van Halen song in the world. It's so catchy. It's fun. The lyrics don't have to make sense because you're not listening to it for the lyrics. You're listening to it for the music, and you know, you're feeling the energy from it. And speaking of energy, to Matt, to be fair, you saw a live show of Van Halen performing this. So in that moment, feeding off the energy of Van Halen live. Yeah, of course you're thinking, it's like, that's not so bad. It's a cool song. Yeah, it's pretty cool because you're in the moment. You're right in the moment listening to it. They're there in front of you. You didn't leave before Eddie busted out that solo, did you?
No.
Okay, no. So there you go. So he busts out that solo, and of course, right away, you're just like, hell yeah, Eddie Van Halen's doing his thing. Yeah, in that moment. It's only in hindsight, and it's when you go back to the record, you go like, oh, God. Like, what is this? Like, this structurally makes no sense. Sound-wise, this is terrible. Terrible mixing. The mic issue, I don't even know what to think about that because, yeah, I agree with Corey. It's like, no, sure 57s don't sound like that. Poorly produced, does not help it. But then the structure of the song is just not well done. And Van Halen is not, they've been guilty of this before. It doesn't diminish their ability as musicians. It doesn't diminish their accomplishments whatsoever. We all think they're great, but sometimes when Eddie and Alex structure songs, not all of them work. This is one of those that don't work. That's all I, you know, to Gary, like, I'm not even gonna apologize to you for this one. I'm just gonna be like, there it is. That was your choice, especially after that quote you just read, Corey. Like, wow, you really thought you had something on this one, didn't you? Well, I applaud your confidence, but this wasn't the one. The one I do not want. And there you go. That is why the dream is over for me. And it's a clean sweep of Dreams Are Over. We haven't had that in quite some time. And we also haven't played this game that Corey loves to play, where I lose.
You've won the last few times, so
give
yourself some credit. You've done pretty well, yeah. It's time to play How Many Times Have Van Halen Performed One I Want? Mark, because you're the reigning champion, how many times do you think Van Halen performed this live in concert?
Well, I know they've at least played it one time because, you know, our friend Matt Lacoste listened to it live. So there's at least one. So I'm going to say they probably busted this out on that tour. So I'll say they played it probably. I'll say 20 times they played it.
20 times. All right. Michael, how about you?
I saw it live too, so that's two for sure, right? So,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It was in the set list. I think I'm going to say 44. I think they
44.
Your show.
All right. We have 20. We have 44. How about you, Matt?
Are we price of rights? Oh, yeah. Price.
Yep.
Yeah. We're doing
closest to the actual number without going over.
I don't want to be a dick. I'm going to go high. I'm going to go 65.
65. All right. We have a winner. And his name is Matt Lacoste. They played this song 75 times.
Oh, Jesus. Oof. For the whole tour, first I'm played, assuming?
It was yep, part first of the live show. This yep. is the one.
Between March and November 1998.
No, boy.
Light rig that came down as the everyone's looking for something. Like, yeah, okay. So they played it every time.
Hmm. Well, there you go. Yeah. So the reign is over. Just like once again, I'm back to the status quo. But congrats to Matt Lacoste.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah. You win bragging rights, and bragging rights in that you won the Price is Right game on this episode, and you were correct in that this song was really awful. So this is just not a good song. So. There it is. Yeah. Apologies to Scott, but because you know, you were keen on it. You were maybe a little too keen, but I understand. It's fine. Did not land with me, did not land with the panelists here. It could have, you know, and there's probably an alternate reality where they restructured this song differently and it just kills every time. But unfortunately, we live on Earth One, and on Earth One, it's not good. It's not the one I want. So there you are.
All right, so let me ask you this question before we end, because do we have any more songs on that shit album?
I think yes, we do.
Josephina.
Let me just look it up here.
I think, yeah, Josephina.
Josephina is the last one, yeah.
Yeah.
God, what's that going to be like when that ends? Is that going to be a party? Are we going to have a...
Oh, we'll have to do a live show. That's right.
Yeah, we'll have to do a live show. We'll definitely, I mean, I'm probably thinking that's going to be the closest one. Is that the, we haven't finished any other albums yet, right?
Nope.
Other than the ones we've covered. Okay.
You fair.
Van Halen 3 will probably be the one that we finish. I hope so, because the quicker we can be done with Van Halen 3 for, you know, the remainder of this.
We'll be slotted in that.
You know, Justine is going to be the last song.
It is, yeah.
God, yeah, it probably will be. And that's unfortunate because I would really hate to go on that note, but them's the bricks if that's it, if that's what's going to happen. But, you know, it's all up to the wheel. All I can say is I shit on this album so hard, but it's just like, I don't understand what the mindset was. And I just don't understand how it can just keep going from bad to worse, to worse, to worse.
You know, what's really interesting. I always heard, I've heard this multiple times that they recorded a follow-up to 3 and they turned it into Warner Brothers. And Warner Brothers, part of this rumor is Warner Brothers goes, hey, this is pretty good, but where's the hit? So they go back. And then they record like 4 or 5 handful more songs. They turn those into Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers goes, this is even better, but where's the hit? And then they all kind of threw their arms up and Gary is like, I can't do any better. And then they kind of quit that era of the band. So those songs are somewhere in 51.
They're out there in the ether. I would be curious to hear them, but at the same time, it's like, well, if they're asking where's the hit, there's probably something to that. And I'm not one to agree with the, you know, the Warner Brothers label too often these days, but like, you can write some really great songs, but you know, you gotta have a hit to really draw in the mainstream audience. If that's what you want to do, if you don't want the mainstream audience, then fine, fuck them, you know, do what you do. But, it's Van Halen. You gotta bring the mainstream. So you gotta have a hit because that's, you know, that's what Van Halen does. They make hits. So if they're turning in, if that rumor is true and they turned in all those tracks and they were still like, okay, cool, awesome, we love it, but where's the hit? Then like, that tells me that something is not working. There's a missing link here. And if it's likely it was Gary. and I think it was proven like, no, it was Gary. And for that, apologies, but not on this song. So there you have it, you guys. It's been a while since we've clean swept A Dream Is Over, but there it is. And shocker, shocker, it's from Van Halen 3. There's nothing more I can add to that. So going over to Matt Lacoste, Michael Griffith, you guys coming back on the show. You're very, very proud sponsors of the show as well, you know, joining our Patreon. We appreciate you guys. We love having you on, love having your takes here. What can we where can the people find you, Matt Lacoste? Where, what do you got going on? Plug away.
I got nothing going on otherwise than this show, as far as I'm concerned. Thank you for having me on. I will happily contribute to the Patreon, and others should. This is fun. This is good. Good talk. That's all that matters to me. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Mark. Exactly. Thanks, Corey. Yeah.
No,
you guys are badass.
Thank you, dude. Yeah. Thank you. We appreciate you so much. Michael Griffith, right back at you, man. Thank you so much for being on. What do you got going on, and where can the people find you?
Same thing, but yeah, at Mike S. Griffith on whatever social, and just, yeah, talk Van Halen, talk about this song, the travesty of it, and whatever else.
Get on the Twitter war with that Mitch dude, and just like, yeah, keep on at it. Like, he's very convinced. Very convinced.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll at mention Gary, and you know.
But speaking of the Patreon, you guys, yeah, as I said, Matt and Michael here are proud members of our Patreon. We do have a Patreon. I mention it every week on the show because I want you all to be a part of it. Listen to how much fun we're having. Listen to how much fun Matt's having. He can just like go on a tirade when he's like, let me tell you why this song sucks. And we proudly be like, yes, tell us all. We want to hear it. And that's all you got to do is join the Patreon and get on the tier that fits for you. But they're not the only ones. Let me give you a shout out to, oh God, I'm trying to shout out our patrons, and you're going to, all right, well,
give you a little background music.
To Matt Lacoste and Michael Griffith, Nate from the Deep Purple Podcast, Rave a Flave, Josh Caldwell, Greg Zito, Michael Griffith, I said it again, Chaz Charles, Sean McGinnity, Kevin Brown, Per Lineker, Scott Monroe, Ryan Powell in the chat, you guys, Jeff Brewer as well, Ben Andreozzi, Tom Armbruster, not Tim, Scott Everett, Keith McCoy, Janice Risco, and Brad Gould. Thank you all so much. I know some of you are in the lurking in the chat. Thank you guys so much for your commentary as well. And apologies to Scott Monroe again. We couldn't connect with this song like you connected with it. We tried, but it is what it is. I'm gonna blow my head off if I have to listen to this anymore.
Thanks, Mark.
Sorry. But I gotta say, we actually got a new patron. We got a shout out here. Oh, I forgot to tell you about this. Michael T signed up at the tier 4 level. So thank you very much, Michael. Couldn't make it tonight because he's not here, but hopefully next month we can get Michael on the show and get his thoughts on Van Halen. So thank you very much for your support. David Lee Smith was a new patron on there as well. So thank you for your support. Can't wait to have you all on the show. Of course, we're going to have another live show coming up as soon as we finish off our next album, 1984 and Van Halen 3. Only have one song left. So we'll see which one of those we finish off first. Poor Kevin Brown. He said the Wheel gave him a shitty Queen song last night. Of course, they were recording Seaside Pod Review. And tonight he gave him a shitty Van Halen song. So he's like, fuck all Wheels. Like, all Wheels could just go to hell.
There's no such thing as a shitty Queen song, Kevin. You know that. You love all the Queen songs.
Come on.
You love all of their catalog. You know,
oh, you've never heard Delilah, clearly. The song Freddie wrote for his cat.
I actually have heard it only because of you guys.
Delilah.
I had to because you had so many choice words about that song. Like, well, now I have to listen to it. And you know what? I didn't hate it. So there it is.
Oh, you might hate the one who spun the...
Well, which whatever one you spun, let me know, and I'll go back and check it out if I don't know it already. But I don't know. That's kind of a bold statement, because Queen usually puts out such good material. But if you want to check out what's going on with the Queen show, check out the Seaside Pod Review, I believe is what it's called. But I'm going to let Corey give you the lowdown on all of the like-minded podcasts you can find at the Deep Dive Podcast Network.
See you,
Matt.
When it comes to my bullshit, Matt's like, I'm out. Fuck y'all.
He's like, no, okay. I don't want to hear it.
All right, Jasmine Taz, hit record. Here we go. We're going to go through the Deep Dive Podcasting Network, featuring such shows as Backtracks, Aerosmith Revisited, featuring myself and Scott Haskin, Backtracks Theme Music, featuring myself and John Mariano, The Ultimate Catalog Clash, featuring myself and Kevin Brown, talking Bill Collins era Genesis. We're almost done season one, about ready to pick the band for season two. That's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, Kevin also does the Tom Petty Project. I think they just did Learning to Fly this week, which is one of my all-time favorite Tom Petty songs, so go check that out. The aforementioned Seaside Pod Review with Kevin and that motherfucker Randy Woods, the Cardinal of the Church or Go Fuck Yourself. Scott Haskin also does a show about Uriah Heep called The Magician's Podcast. We have Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast, The Simple Man at Skinnerd Reconsidered, Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts on the Other Side, Rye at Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Paul Joan David at In the Lap of the Pods. That podcast is wrapping up before the end of the year here, so go check them out before it's too late. Andy and Mac do a show called Hawk Binge on the band Hawkwind. Then you have Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z, Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Madman, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast, Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast, George and Hattie at the Judas Priest Cast, Clay and Riot North by South Podcast, that's Canadian Music versus American Music. Check that out. It's a heck of a lot of fun. Greg and Jonathan at So Far, So Pod, So What, talking all things ABBA. No, I'm kidding. Of course, they're talking Megadeth. Quinn, Ed, and Volume for All. Sav, Nick, Steve, and Mark at the Rock Roulette Podcast. Then we got the Chazorific shows. Chaz and Greg at Regarding Lulu. Of course, that show is wrapped up, but please catch up on all their old episodes, especially if you hate your ears. Then we have Chaz and Chats at Rush Rash, and Chaz and Wolfie at Regarding Roger. That's Roger Waters, and that one will be coming up very, very soon. And of course, we ask you all to support all of our friends in the podcasting universe, including You're All Doomed, a Friday the 13th podcast, the Sean Geek and Fast Fret podcast, the DLR cast, the Bogus Oda show, soon to feature one Sammy Hagar himself, Pod of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, Booked on Rock with the legendary Eric Senich, Dissect That Film, and Three's Company 2, a rewatch podcast. Rest in peace, Suzanne Summers.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Thank you, Corey. Yes, and also, you guys, as you know, www.podcastwillrock.com. All the backlog shows are there in case you miss it. But we're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you name it. Wherever you're listening to podcasts, we're likely there. We've got a YouTube channel, so if you want to actually see us while we get our chat on, then do that. But I'm not responsible for the weird faces I make on camera that I'm not even aware that I'm making. So be ready for that if you want to watch it in video format. We also have merch on the website. Kevin Brown, very, very nice of him to contribute a lot of those designs. And they always crack me up, always make me laugh. Get yourself a shirt, especially the Apologies to Gary shirt, because I will not rest until there's an army of you wearing these shirts. And he sees it and go, what the hell is that all about? And you all have to tell him, you got to check out this show, man. I think you're going to be very either pleasantly surprised or you're going to be infuriated. Either way, it's a hoot of a time. Buy the shirt. I just want confused faces on everybody. Okay. That fills me with joy when people see other people doing stuff and go like, what the hell is that all about? And they're not in the know, but you say, you got to check out the show, man. Check out this podcast. And then they'll be in the know. And then they'll get a shirt, and yay, shirts for everybody. So get yourself some merch at our merch store on podcastlerock.com. And once again, thank you to our patrons, including Michael Griffith here. Thank you, sir. Join our Patreon. Like I said, we have awesome tiers. And if we don't have one that you like, let us know. I'm sure we can accommodate you. We are winding down on the wheel, man. 26 songs left to go. Only one song for two albums, as Corey said, left to go on those. So we're getting down to the wire here, man. So it's going to be a fun time. We've got some bangers left, so you definitely want to be with us on the journey as we go through those. So any final words before we finally adjourn, boys?
No, just it was great to be back spinning the wheel. We're going to do this 26 yeah. more times before we call it a season anyway. We haven't decided if we're going to keep going. Hopefully people out there are interested in us continuing. Let us know either on Twitter or in our Patreon or what have you. And, you know, we got some ideas of how we could keep going. Maybe we do solo wheels. Maybe we do inspiration wheels. Maybe we do just a fan request. Who knows? But please reach out and let us know. www.podcastablerock at podcastablerock on all your favorite social media platforms. And let us know. This tonight was a lot of fun. Even though the song wasn't the best, it was just great getting back together with all my friends talking about one of my favorite bands. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah, lots of laughs.
The live three show. That'll be fun.
Yes. Well, that'll be something.
Well, we still got one song left for that before that happens, but that is going to be a hoot, and I will make sure the whiskey is fully stocked when that happens because I will need it. And as Corey said, feedback is important. Let us know, you guys. Let us know what you want us to do once we get down to those final songs. And should we keep going? Should we do other things? Let us know. Until that time, on behalf of Matt Lacoste, Michael Griffith, and my partner in crime, Corey Morissette, I am Mark Meyer, and we are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.